Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Today, we'll recommend an EV for a student looking for an affordable option with lots of range, a lady on LinkedIn who needs an electric replacement for her totaled Chevrolet Bolt, and a viewer looking for something with an emphasis on fun. Welcome to Battery Bargains. This is episode number 43. I'm Dominic Ioni. Joining me today is Dave Connor from the Out of Spec Dave channel. And we are delighted to be joined once again by Andrew Lambrecht from Ever Cars. How you guys doing?
Great.
Really good.
All right. So let's kick this thing off with our deal of the week. So there was a bit of a toss-up this week, but I decided to go with this. Let me just bring it up on the screen for you all, actually. Close this, open this, and boom. All right. A Polestar 2024 long-range, Polestar 2 long-range single motor with 26,025 miles with the Pilot package for $23,890, and that includes the dealer fees and the electronic filing fee. Yeah, there you go. This is a vehicle with an MSRP of over $54,000 2 years ago, and now it's less than half price. So it comes with a 360-degree camera, blind spot monitoring standard, and the Pilot package for this year adds a lane centering, adaptive cruise, LED fog lights with a cornering, as well as the Pixel LED headlights with adaptive high beams. And this being a 2024 model means that it's rear-wheel drive, not front-wheel drive like the earlier model years. And it also has the bigger 82 kilowatt-hour battery for 306 miles of range and a higher peak charging. So charging is faster with a 28-minute 10 to 80. So, before we get into letters or anything, what do you guys think of this?
Great deal.
Yeah?
I think I honestly would go with the rear-wheel drive Polestar 2. I would not go with all-wheel drive. And I would go with this specifically because of the additional range, because you get 320 miles EPA range, rear-wheel drive. It's also pretty quick, too. It's like 300 horsepower, 299, I think, to be exact. But it's still going to be a fun car to drive. It's still a rear-wheel drive Polestar. The front-wheel drive Polestar, I didn't really like. I actually was very disappointed with the driving experience in that car. Only made a 230 horsepower, not particularly fun. But this is rear-wheel drive. Gets more range than the all-wheel drive, because the all-wheel drive one only comes with the 78 kilowatt-hour battery, even on the refresh 2024. So getting bigger battery might be more fun to drive with the rear-wheel drive setup. And yeah, I would go with this one. I think it's a solid deal.
So what's the mileage on this one, Dominic?
26,025 miles.
Okay, so you've got the balance. I don't know what the in-service date was, but you got 4-year 50K bumper to bumper plus 8-year 100K on the drivetrain. So that's a lot of car for 25 grand, right? 24 grand.
Well, 24, yeah.
Yeah, because they're showing the dealer fees and the electronic filing fee. Wouldn't you think an electronic filing fee would be less because it's electronic? $299 to push a button. But whatever. I mean, I looked at a few of these myself this morning, and I'm seeing them more in the 25,000 to 27,000 range.
Right.
And this is a great car. What does this have the ADAS lane centering and all that?
That's
on it?
Pilot. Yeah.
Yes,
it does. Yeah. Right. Yeah. I've spent a lot of time in this vehicle, both like you, Andrew, like the front wheel drive and the rear wheel drive, but as well as the all wheel drive. And I think, you know, the rear wheel drive is fine. Unless you're in an area where you need all wheel drive. And I would emphasize that, you know, it was funny driving down from Connecticut yesterday in Florida here, massive rainstorm. I was really happy to have the all-wheel drive in the Y. So don't just think, you know, hills and snow and all that. But yeah, this is the piece to have. That the 2024 was major upgrades, and this is a great, this is a solid ride. What, Andrew, what are your thoughts about the latest Polestar pulling out of the U.S.? And should I, if I'm thinking about getting, whether it's this one or another Polestar 2, should I be concerned about that? Or is Volvo going to be there? Like, what's going on with that?
Yeah, that was wild. So at least my thought is, my initial thing is, Polestar made a statement and they were like, we're committed to the reliability service of our vehicles, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, there's so many Polestars out on the road. I mean, there's a lot of them. I mean, obviously it's not like volume Tesla or anything, but there's a lot of them out on the road, and they share so many components with the Volvo. So this is basically a Volvo XC40 Recharge, which is now EX40. So I'm not too concerned about the reliability, and these Polestar 2s have been pretty reliable across the board. They always are a little finicky on the electronic front, but at least powertrain and overall reliability, I have not heard any significant issues with them. So,
and you were on the 24. Does this, I just noticed while you're scrolling there, it says it does support Apple CarPlay, but didn't they go to like the whole Google system at some point? Does this really support Google or Apple CarPlay, or is that just a misprint?
I believe it does. I believe it does.
Oh, yeah.
CarPlay.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Let me do
it. It's the Android system, but it's still
pretty sure.
This one's in Florida. So, guys, let me know. I don't know where Plant City is, but I'm close by. I can go test drive it for you if you want. Give me a shout. Look, all kidding aside, that's a lot of car for $24,000. It really is.
It is crazy. It's kind of a crazy deal. That's why it made it the deal of the week. There was a couple others that are really close, but since the Polestar brand is leaving the U.S., I thought it was apropos to give them at least the car of the week, the deal of the week this week. And it's it is legitimately a really great deal.
Yeah. What was the dealer fee on that one again? $1,000.
It was a bit higher than
300 higher for 12. Iconic.
Yeah, so Florida is notorious for super high dealer fees. But if they're going to offset it, some of these dealers may be taking, trades in and just giving super stupid lowball money. They may be making $4,000 on this car. It's like, wow. Yeah, that's a good find, Dominic. I like that. Good job.
All right. So let's get into our letters. But before we do, don't forget, if you'd like your own EV recommendation, tell us your needs and budget in a brief email or video, and we'll feature your case on an upcoming episode. All right, so let's find these folks their next favorite car. Our first email comes to us from Kay, and she writes, "Hi there, love the podcast. I'm a 20-year-old student in Pennsylvania looking to buy my first car, and I would appreciate some advice. I have no experience buying used cars and plan to make my purchase in early to mid-August. My budget is $2,500 down and $300 to $350 per month for financing. I am currently working a summer job with my former high school's IT department to save up. When I'm on campus, my primary income comes from food delivery gig work, so DoorDash and Uber Eats. Here are a few details about my needs and what I am considering. I prefer smaller vehicles and am a spirited driver. I have been monitoring listings for a few months and am interested in a used Chevy Bolt EV. My campus is 100 miles from home. I need a vehicle that can make that 100-mile trip one way about 11 times a year without needing to stop and charge, even during Pennsylvania winters. So I am thinking about buying from Carvana because the process seems seamless. But I'm unsure if it's a good option given the higher prices or if I should look elsewhere. Additionally, I need some guidance on auto insurance. Since I have never shopped for insurance before, I'm not sure how the process works or if I need to have a policy in place before purchasing the vehicle. I hope that you can help me out with these questions. Thanks for the great content. Best, K." So let's just address the insurance part of this to start. So yes, you do need to have an insurance policy in place when you pick up the vehicle. So Andrew, EverCars deals with this regularly. So what's the usual flow of events there?
Yeah, so you do need insurance before you pick up a car. That's usually a prerequisite. So it's like you find the car you want, maybe you sign the agreement to buy it that day, but you should you need insurance to drive off the lot with a car. And I think another thing as well, I know she mentioned like the budget, like $2,500 down and $350 a month. If you do go to a regular car dealership, don't say your budget to the salesperson because they will weaponize that. So just more look at the, yeah, just don't mention budget until like the very end, because the typical car dealerships are not too great on that front. But yeah, the process is, yeah, just have insurance, do some shopping. Usually Carvana is a little bit more money, honestly, because people kind of like the novelty of buying through Carvana. Carvana generally has very high profit margins as well. So there's other, if she was in California, then I would say come over to Ever and test drive some cars. But I think there's lots of good options around the entire country.
Yeah, go ahead. You were gonna say. Go ahead, Dominic.
I was just gonna say Carvana is great for selling your car. Just, you know, by the way, it's usually pretty good if you can get a good price. If they have a good price, the whole process they do there with selling the car, great. I've never bought a car through Carvana, so I can't really comment on that. But sorry, Dave, go ahead.
Yeah, no. So like insurance, let's talk about that. If you walk into a dealership. You go into Andrew's dealership, right? And you're like, wow, I see the car I want. You know what? You can get insurance literally within 20 minutes, okay? And then you can maybe shop that around. It's easy to switch insurance. So mm-hmm. don't worry too much about insurance. What I would say is that if you have a renter's policy or a homeowner's policy or something like that, it's good to start with that company perhaps because they can give you multi-discounts for multiple uses. But there are a lot of differences in when you're shopping for car insurance. And one of the biggest components is the deductible, right? And how much are you willing to absorb for a claim? If you start off at a $250 deductible, the premium is going to be very high. If you go to a $2,000 deductible, the premium is going to be a lot lower. And what I would also say to you is think about with insurance, don't claim unless you really have to, because what will happen is the insurance company will raise your rates. And if you have three, whether it's a glass claim or a collision or something like that, they may drop you. And the insurance companies all talk to each other. So they're connected through a network. So I'm a big fan of high deductible insurance and self-insuring for small items myself, but you know, don't feel compelled that on the day that you're buying the car, you have to find the exact deal that you're looking for, because you can always switch it relatively quickly. That's the first thing. The second thing is I agree 100% with what Andrew said. It's okay to let the car dealership know what your budget is to spend. You know, listen, I got a 25,000 max or a 15,000 max, but what's happening now is a lot of financial institutions are financing cars out, you know, 5 years, okay, 6 years, 84 months. And what can happen is the interest rate will go up. And if you try and shop with the mentality of I can afford $340 a month, that car dealership, he'll stick you in a, you know, especially on a pre-owned, that could be a 9% 84-month deal. That's not something that I, as your, you know, as your friend would say, that's probably good advice to do. So the financing side of it, I would be a little bit careful of. What I like about this inquiry is A, the detailed nature, and B, the fact that you're thinking about a budget. And I really like that. But be careful with sharing too much about those numbers, because car dealerships can play a lot of games with those numbers, as Andrew said.
100%. But yeah, very detailed. And I think there's some great options in that price range. And I love the Chevy Bolt. I had a Chevy Bolt for a few months. I think the Chevy Bolt's a fantastic car. But there's some other pretty good options in that price range, because I was looking at that budget yields maybe $15,000, $20,000 total vehicle price. And honestly, you can find front-wheel drive Polestar 2s for under $20,000. Are they hard to find? Yes, but you can find them for under $20,000. I think that's a good option. Not the most fun to drive, but it's a lot more fun than a Chevy Bolt. Like, honestly, like the Polestar 2 is going to feel a lot more premium. I think another car would be the Hyundai Kona EV. I would go with that because you get the 10-year, 100,000-mile transferable EV system warranty, which covers high-voltage battery, onboard, the I'm blanking on the name. Why am I blanking on the name? The I would say ICCU, but it's different name in the.
Oh, you're talking about ECU?
No, sorry, onboard charger.
Onboard charger.
I'm thinking of ICCU, but that's only for the 800 volt one. I think they have a different name in the Kia Niros and Hyundai Kona. But anyways, it covers everything high voltage related, which is really awesome. And they have very similar range and a little bit better charging speeds because you have a peak charge rate of 85 kilowatts in the Kona and Kia Niro, as opposed to 50 kilowatts in the Chevy Bolt. So yeah, I think there's some pretty good options in that price range. Like you can
I'd like to add that all of those options are great options for your use case, which is 100 miles one way, because the Kona, I've owned two of them. They're magically efficient. You'll get in the car on a warm summer day and you'll see 310 miles of range. Now, whether or not, you know, you actually get that depends on your driving style, but, you'll easily get 250 miles of range out of that thing on highways. It's just 100%. Really amazing. The Bolt also, you're right, the Bolt doesn't charge as fast. Like that, I think the later model Konas started getting up over 80. I think there were more like 75, 74 was the most I ever saw. But it's a flat peak, you know, it's a flat curve. So once you plug in, you're going to be getting the juice. And, you know, for the amount of time that you're going to be driving that, any of these cars, whether it's the Polestar 2 front wheel drive, the Kona, what do you think about, Andrew, what do you think about the Niro, throwing that one in there too?
Yeah. Yeah. I usually just kind of lump them together, but I think something a little bigger because the Niro does have a longer overall design.
Yeah.
I think the Niro is a great car. And especially if you get a 2023 or newer Kia Niro EV, I forgot which years do it on the Hyundai, but if you get a 2023 or newer Niro EV, you can find them easily under $20,000. You'll get the wind trim, which is like, the wind trim, which is like the entry level trim. And that one has lane centering, adaptive cruise control. So you get that whole safety suite. Whereas in the Chevy Bolt, you need a Premier Bolt EUV with Super Cruise just to get lane centering. Whereas if you get the Kia Niro, you get that lane centering, adaptive cruise control is standard. And it even has a little front trunk, which is kind of cool too. So
The thing about the Niro as well is it's a little bit bigger than the Kona in the back seat. So if you're on a budget and you're thinking about doing Lyft or Uber or something like that, it's a little easier to pull up with a Niro than it is a Kona. And that's something to consider. I would stay away from the Leafs, only because Chatamo, right?
Yeah.
And no, active cooling on the battery. So if you're going to be doing long distance trips, DC fast charging, it's really going to throttle back how much you charge. And finding Chatamo, are all the Leafs Chatamo, or am I wrong? Yeah,
all the 2025 and older.
So boy, oh boy. Yeah. Unless you're going to be charging that as like your daily grocery getter, I would stay away from anything that charges on Chatamo. You can't find it anymore. Right. Yeah. And the adapters are expensive for that.
Yeah, the adapters are insane. I got like a review adapter for a Nissan Leaf. It was NACS to Chatamo, and it was $800 adapter. And it like has its own battery. You got to flash software onto it. And I'm like, this is insane. But I will say, and this is actually crazy, the Nissan Leaf SV Plus has a better peak charge rate than Bolt and Kia Niro and Hyundai Kona. It's 100 kilowatts. But the charging curve on there isn't too great. I was actually never able to see 100 kilowatts, but on paper, it does have a higher peak charge rate, which is kind of fun.
This is like little nuances. Don't worry too much about that. But the, you know, and by the way, you know, the name, my name is Dave Connor, right? And if you say it fast, it's Dave Connor. And so of course my Kona, I named it the Dave Kona, right? So, you know, that was, I had to do that. You remember that, Dominic? It was funny, but they're great cars. They're super reliable. 12 volt issues, Andrew, anything to worry about with these, with the Kona?
Not too sure about the 12 volt issues with them. Are you familiar with any?
I know on like the Ioniq 5s and the Ioniq 6s and you know, the EGMPs, there's been a lot of chatter around 12 volt issues, you know, coming out to the car and the car is dead. The thing to know about the Konas and the Niros is they are not a dedicated platform for EV from the ground up. And meaning that
right.
You can buy a Kona or a Niro with a gas engine, or you can get it with electric. It's just something to note. But these are great little cars. They're really zippy. The one thing I did have a problem with the Kona is when I was coming to a stop, the transition from the regen to the friction brake, if you're hitting a bump right before you come to a full stop, it would launch and like it'd be braking, and then it would all of a sudden release the brake, and then it would slide a little bit more. It was really disconcerting. So when you go out on a test drive of these Konas and Niros, push it, and when you're coming to a stop, see if you feel what I feel. They could never change that. It was really just that transition from regen to friction brake that they didn't really have that software tuned. Maybe they fix that in later years, but again, a minor thing. But these are great cars for the money.
I think they used to say it felt like the car was speeding up when it did that, you know, even yeah. Although it's not really speeding up, but it kind of feels like that when you're inside.
It was really, so, you felt like you were out of control, and it was very disconcerting. But anyway, yeah. The Kona is, these are front wheel drive cars, and in the wet weather, you could light the tires up. I mean, the thing had so much power. You just floor it, and it would go. It was crazy. So it's a lot of fun. You said you wanted spirited. I would get myself a Kona and put some slicks on it, you know? So anyway.
Yeah, that thing's like, it's literally a hot hatch. It's crazy. Yeah,
it is. It is.
So I pulled up, looked up Konas with under 30,000 or under 40,000 miles, I think. And this is basically the cheapest one out there. $15,000, 2020 Kona EV. It looks great. So that's with 36,000 miles on it. So that's one to keep in mind. So she had said that she's interested in the Bolt. So, and plus, I think that's really a great starting place for her, especially when she's got a limited budget. Like, so she can put $2,500 down and then make those payments. But man, you don't want to be making those payments for very long. Definitely not for like 4 years or 5 years or anything. It makes you like 2 or 3 years tops, you know? So I found this deal, $11,000, 2017 Chevy Bolt LT, pretty bulletproof car. So these, I believe, all had their battery packs replaced at some point. So it's not the original battery pack that came with the car. They were recalled and they all got new packs. So nothing to worry about there. I think they're pretty solid for the most part, the Chevy Bolt. So this one has, 51,000. So a number of miles on this, 51,493. That's way more than I would usually, you know, use in an example like this. But for this price, I just think it's a really good value, and just a good way to get a good 200-mile-plus car that's, you know, reliable and affordable. A few miles on it, but I think it'll probably be fine. I don't know. What do you think, Andrew? Anything on these things break ever?
The CV shell are an issue on some of the older Bolts. Like you'll hear like a clunking noise when you drive, and they can be pretty expensive to repair. I remember I was talking with someone, and her Bolt had the CV shafts go bad, and I think it was like $6,500 to repair. And she was like, my car is not worth that much. So if you test drive one, just make sure you're not hearing like any clunking noises. I think a good thing to do would just be get in the car, steer, go full lock left, full lock right, just drive it around. Don't have any sound on. Don't listen to the salesperson if they're in the car. Just need something very quiet driving it. And then just make sure you're not hearing any like clicking or clunking noises or anything kind of out of the ordinary. They're very reliable.
Yeah. One thing, if you're buying a car, especially like this one, watch the dealer fees. It's plus $2,000. The other thing is that, you know, what the price says there, and I'm sure you understand this, but that doesn't necessarily mean that's what you're going to pay. Right. So, you know, make sure you have a good friend that can help you negotiate a good deal with the dealership. The other thing is that if you're buying a car out of warranty, I would highly recommend looking in your local area for what's called a PPI or pre-purchase inspection. And any reputable dealer will allow you to have a car go through, you know, an inspection of some sort. It may cost you a few bucks. Andrew, what do these PPIs typically run out in Cali?
I'm honestly not too sure off the top of my head. I know a lot of people do it like before they buy cars with us and we're just like, go ahead. It's actually kind of funny. Like we one time had someone who did like a PPI on an under warranty, like 1 year old Kia Niro. And I'm like, all right, like it's still under the basic warranty, but go ahead. I would like to say they're probably a couple hundred bucks.
Yeah. And like, you know, there was this franchise company out a few years ago called Lemon Busters. I thought that was a great name for a business. Lemon Busters. But you know, look, you know, even 15 grand is a decent amount of money. To your point though, Andrew, if the thing's under warranty and it's got a lot of life left in it on the warranty, don't spend your money on a PPI. But you know, the other thing is definitely check out these are showing you Carfaxes, I'm sure. Carfaxes, and is it AutoCheck? That's the other big company that does it as well.
I don't like AutoCheck. I think Carfax is a lot.
Look at both, right? And ask for both, because I have bought used cars in the past when it has a clean Carfax and then it'll show that it was hit on AutoCheck.
Really?
Do not buy a hit car, even if it's a good deal. Why? Because what you need to think about when you're buying a car is what's your exit strategy. When I go to sell this car, what is someone going to look at? And if someone's going to, would you buy a hit car? No. So you just, you know, you limit your audience. Unless you can identify that the damage is really just cosmetic or minor, you know, and even then it's just, you know, there's so many used cars for sale out there. Just buy one with a clean Carfax and a clean auto check. That would be my recommendation. And these bolts they're great fun, really a lot of fun. They're zippy. They're kind of quick, just off the line. You know, any of these electric cars are sporty just by definition, you know, compared to maybe the gas car parts. So those are good choices.
Yeah. And you can get, so that one was 11,000. You can go, you know, up at like $1,000 or $2 and still, I guess, be in a decent budget area and get a lot fewer miles. Well, there's also Tesla Model 3s in that kind of price neighborhood as well, with a lot more miles. So the best one I could find at the moment is like a 2018 long range with 177,000 miles, which is a lot of miles. It's a lot of miles, but
Out of Spec Renew on that one. I don't know,
but right.
That's a good,
but whoa. It puts you in that. Like I wouldn't recommend this for her. I wouldn't recommend this for her just because, well, it's got a lot of miles on it. Plus insurance costs.
Yeah.
The insurance is going to be a lot higher on this than it is going to be on the Bolt, I believe. Right.
Yeah.
At least insurance it was for my
Tesla's. Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Insurance on Teslas is definitely very high. Like when I had my Model 3 in California, it was like $250 a month. I was like, very high.
Yeah. So I mean, it is an option, and it's like a lot nicer to drive than the Chevy Bolt, but it's a lot riskier in a lot of ways too. So you know, the insurance cost is there, and you know, if something goes wrong with it, I mean. They're pretty bulletproof for the most part, you know, and if they've got that many miles on them, they've probably already had the front end, what's the control arms that they typically replace in those around 60,000 miles or frequently something like that.
I'm not really sure about those older Model 3s. I think they're pretty bulletproof. I mean,
right.
But yeah. I mean, that's a lot of miles, you know, it's just something to think about.
More than I would, especially in her situation, I would not recommend that. But just to show that, you know, those are out there as well. But I actually like your Kona idea a lot, Andrew. That was pretty nice. It's a bit higher in price, but also a lot more comfortable, I think, to drive than those early Chevy Bolts. Which those Chevy Bolts are like a lot of people complain about the seats, right? And then the dash and everything's all like plastic.
Yeah, all plastic in the interior. It's like. Yeah.
The corner is just like a nicer place to be, really. But all right. So let's move on, though. Our next email comes to us from LinkedIn. So we just happened to see this post from someone in the EV industry looking for a recommendation for her next car. So I thought we'd take a shot at it. So why not? Okay, so she wrote this post on LinkedIn, and I'll just read through it. And in her comments, she calls out a few cars, and I'll mention that at the bottom. So she begins, "I hit a deer with my trusty Chevy Bolt last week, and my insurance deemed it a total loss. I am so bummed. I love this car. I bought it brand new with cash for $26,000 in 2021. I liked how Spartan my Bolt was and how nothing could kill it. Not my dogs, not Baltimore City streets, but a damn deer was what finally did it in. My insurance gave me market value for my car, thankfully. I could totally go buy the exact same car with more miles on it for what they paid me. While owning another car outright is definitely attractive, I did wish that my Bolt had a little more range with faster charging. This is a terrible time to be buying a car, but the unfortunate reality is that my family needs a smaller EV to complement our Ford F-150 Lightning. I have a few options that I'm considering, some newish and the rest a few years used. I can't spend a bajillion dollars on a brand new EV at this time. If you were in my shoes, what EV would you be looking at? Drop your suggestions in the comments." So she got a lot of responses to this, and she interacted with a lot of these comments, and she was kind of saying that she really calls out the BMW i4 as something that she's interested in, as well as the BMW iX. She had previously owned a 2019.
That's just like a whole nother league.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, like from a Bolt to an iX or even an i4. I mean, yeah, well, I agree with you, but you know, if budget's not it,
her budget is
the smaller part,
are they?
So her budget is nowhere near the iX kind of range right now, unless you're willing to deal with like a lot of miles. But I was just going to say she did previously own a Tesla Model 3 Performance in 2019, and she does not want to go with Tesla right now. So, other than that, Dave, what do you think? Man. So she wants it closest to her, you know, 26,000, you know, Chevy Bolt price. I wouldn't
go back to the Kona and Niro again. I hate to say it, but you know, those are two vehicles I would definitely check out. What else is there for 26,000? Equinox, I might take
even more. At. Yeah. I would go more than 26,000 though. I think maybe like 32 or 35, you know.
35. I mean, you know, definitely check out the Chevy Equinox. What do you think of that one, Andrew?
I think it's a good car. I'm not like in love with it, but I think over like on paper, it's a pretty good car. It's got good range. Definitely has great range. I'll give it that. And it looks nice. Not the most exhilarating to drive. But compared to a Bolt, it's like, it's on a similar level.
You know, one thing I would suggest also to you is go out and test drive the brandy new Bolt. It's $28,995, including delivery out the door. I don't really know how they're selling, but I was at the launch event in California driving them. I thought it was great. Plus, it's improved charging.
Oh, 100%.
I did 10% in 26 minutes? And I saw 154 peak at a Tesla V3. So and they've made all the improvements that if you loved the old Bolt, you're going to really love the new one. I think it's a great car. Now it's a little more money, but you know, maybe you could get one on a discount. I mean, maybe that's a little nutty, but I might go if you really love the Bolt. Go check out the new Bolt.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, but she's willing to go used too. So, you know, that's something also to consider. Because you Model get a more car. So
25 grand? What can you get for a Model Y, Andrew?
For up in the 30s a little bit, you know?
Yeah. They've gone up a lot recently. Like, it's hard to find a Model Y for under 25,000 now. Like,
that right. Why do you think that is?
I think it's a mixture of gas prices going up. It's also, I think like last year, Teslas were like at their low because there was all the Elon chaos going on. People were like, I'm selling my Tesla. And there were new Model Ys selling for like new Model Y performances. You could get a Tesla out the door under 40,000. And now that exact same car, 2025 Model Y performance, low miles, is going for about 40K or more on the secondhand market right now. So you could have literally bought a brand new Model Y with the tax credit last March 2025, and you could have sold it now and broke even or even made money. And I think it's just a mixture. I mean, Teslas are, I think they were probably a little undervalued just based on how much car you're getting for the money. The Model Y is such a popular brand new car, and then losing out on the tax credit too, because now you've just inflated the used prices a little bit because the depreciation won't be so bad anymore. So I think gas prices and losing out on the tax credit and then the Elon stuff kind of subsiding, like those three factors just really boosted Tesla prices. Yeah. That's thought at least.
Yeah, I think, and I, did she mention that she was not looking to get a Tesla this time, or was that the other person? I can't remember.
Yeah, no, is it this person? She didn't want a Tesla this time.
One thing we did not mention, but for everyone involved here, take a look at your state incentives for tax credits or rebates or whatever they want to call it. It's kind of, I'm not really sure, it's all over the place, but depending on where you live, you could get some good money coming back. And then also take a look at where you live in the state, because sometimes there are certain zip codes where there's extra money. Yeah. Like for example, in the state of Connecticut, if you're in Danbury, there's certain zip codes within Danbury that qualify for an extra, I think it's like at least $1,000 from the state. But if you're right over into the other zip code, you can't get it. So you got, that's really a particular thing, but generically check out state incentives for sure.
Yeah.
And that's on used, on pre-owned.
I think today, I was looking at that today. I think, I'm not sure who has the used ones, but I know California, New Jersey, and Colorado, I think, are the main like new car incentive states right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely look into see what incentives your if your utility might have an incentive to install your charger as well. And of course, state incentives on used cars is a thing that exists in some states, at least. I should break up a list for next episode or something.
Yeah, California, they don't have a new one yet. They do have used tax credits, used rebates through energy providers. So if you go like PG&E, for example, will give you up to $4,000 for buying a used EV, which about the same price as a used Chevy, or used BMW i3 I could find for cheap. So
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, Dominic, just a couple of other quick things. This just hit me from, we were going back, we were talking about Carvana for, I think it was maybe the first one. CarMax is an interesting place to buy a vehicle. You are going to pay more money, but they give you that new car buying experience, and they also give you a 30-day money-back guarantee, which is pretty amazing. And that's so, I think there's, you know, if you're a little bit scared about, you definitely are going to pay more, but you will find that you can drive to a CarMax dealer, you can actually see cars that are on the lot, and then if they have a vehicle, let's say you live in, you know, Tulsa, and there's a vehicle in Boston, there's a dollar amount that it will cost for them to actually ship the car from Boston to Tulsa. Maybe it would be $600. And what you can do is, if you're really serious about that car, you can pay that $600. They'll ship the car from Boston to Tulsa, and then you can drive it. And if you don't want it, you can walk away. Now, you just spent $600, so you don't want to do that unless you're really serious about it. But that's a really nice way, I think, peace of mind of buying a vehicle. On the other side of that, we've been talking and showing you dealer listings. Going and finding someone that's a private party sale and using a PPI inspector in conjunction with that, especially if the car is under warranty, you can maybe save a heck of a lot of money. Definitely on dealer fees, for sure. And you may find that people are in a little bit of a situation where a dealer's only giving them 12 grand for a car on a trade-in, and they'll say, okay, I'll try and sell it on my own for 13, make an extra 1,000, but meanwhile the dealer would charge you 15. So take a look at who you're buying the car from as well, I would suggest.
I agree. That's always the best when you have someone who like wants to trade into Carvana. They're like, oh, they'll only give me $11,000. I'll sell my i3 for $13,000. And then you're like, all right, well, now it's better buying there because it'd be $15,000 at dealer. And then if you live in a territory with a tax credit or some sort of rebate incentive, you can possibly buy that car for under wholesale price with those incentives. So yeah, that's nice.
Thanks. Stick with us, folks. We know what we're doing right here. This is battery bargains, right? You know, so anyway, I think this has been great, Dominic. You know, and I like that Polestar 2 for $24,000, man. That's a great deal.
Yeah. So let me just pull up. This is she had wanted a, or she had mentioned the BMW i4 at least. So I did some digging from one of those and just to see what the i4 market looks like, and this is kind of about as good as it really gets right now with 2024 X Drive 40. I went with the 40 because it has more range than the 30 eDrive 35s. This is the extra
more power. Yeah, this is the X Drive.
Yeah, this. Right. Well, I mean, the E30s have a smaller battery in them, right?
Yeah, eDrive 35 has a smaller battery. It's
35. And
makes like, I forgot what horsepower, it's like 281. And then you get the eDrive 40, and then that one gets 335 horsepower, a lot more fun, bigger battery. And then you get the xDrive 40, which is 396 horsepower because it's all-wheel drive.
Right. So a little, probably a little down on range. So you're looking at 31.5 plus the dealer fees, 30,000 miles on this one.
Dealer fees, by the way, Dominic, not disclosed on this one. Be really careful. It's right. Florida. So it's going to be at least $1,000 more than what you see there, if not a lot more than that. So, but the point is, I'm actually surprised to see an i4 in the low 30s, right? You know, I didn't.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there was a few. And 30,000 miles. There was a few around here like this, especially if you go with the e-drive, like just the rear-wheel drive versions or the smaller ones. There's a bunch even cheaper than that. But Dave, so see, you see this car for sale, this listing. Would you be able to negotiate a better price, do you think? Is that something people should try to do?
Every deal is custom, right? It depends on the situation. But without talking to the dealership, you just never know. I always start from the premise that this is America, right? You know, unless it's Tesla, Rivian, or Lucid, whatever you're asking for, there's no way I'm paying that price, right? There's no, let's play the game, right? So whether that's negotiating on the price of the vehicle, or whether that's negotiating on types of fees that go into it, the answer is you should always be able to buy a vehicle for less than what it's advertised for. Now, there are situations when it's a hot commodity and people are going to, you know, they're going to move the vehicle very quickly, but it's a custom answer without actually talking to, you know, not just this dealership, but multiple dealerships and going through the process. If your goal is to buy it as cheap as possible, you're not going to really know that till you put in the homework. The good news is there's so many tools on the marketplace today. If you want to do that yourself, you can go ahead and you can find out exactly what these cars are going for. You may even be able to find, it's probably a little tough to find out what they're selling for at the auctions unless you have a friend in the business. But, I look at it this way. The cost that a dealership has on a used vehicle is very different. How much did they have to pay to actually get that car in on trade, or how much did they pay to bring that car in from, you know, from an auction or whatever? That varies widely. And the profitability of that deal that for that particular piece could also be dependent a little bit on how much did they sell the car, or how much did they sell the car to take this one on trade. So it's they're wildly different numbers here. Andrew, you're in the business. I mean, you agree with me, until you talk to them and work it out, you're not really going to know, but you should always try to get it lower. Sure.
Yeah. If it's like a regular car dealership where you can negotiate at, then always try. Like for instance, I was looking at a 4xe Jeep recently, and I went to the dealer It was like 28,000. And they would not budge at all on the price. They were like, and it, to be fair, it was a pretty good price. But then they added on all this crap, right? Like the stupid low jack stuff. And the sales guy's like, he's like, well, this is why we're better than like a Tesla, because we let you negotiate. So we're helping the consumer. I'm like, no, you asshat. I'm like, you just charged $2,000 more on this car. And it's like, sorry, I don't know if I can say that on here. I think it's
fine. I think you just did. And I liked it. Okay. That was good, you know?
But yeah, no, because it's like, it depends on the car. And if it's a high demand car, and usually if the price is right, like a good price too, they'll usually add on some extra stuff to kind of accommodate. But yeah, it's like you go to a regular car dealership and it's like some of them will negotiate. If the car is in higher demand, then they're not going to negotiate at all. And sometimes you're going to have to negotiate down from stupid add-on price too. So it's like, it's a wild west in the car dealership world. So
it is. And the other thing is I would expand my horizons, use the internet and understand that you can buy a car anywhere in the country, right? It doesn't have to be down, you know, a 10, 20 mile radius. Open up your mindset that I'm willing to buy it anywhere, especially when it comes to used pre-owned, because that, you know, it's so many different variable factors. But keep in mind that if you have that PPI inspection in your back pocket, you have that warranty in your back pocket, and any car is, the most it is away from where you are is $1,500. I mean, that's talking coast to coast to ship a car. And that industry is super competitive and tight.
100%.
So, you know, so think about it this way. If there are really high demand for RAV4 plug-in hybrids in California, but yet, and they're charging $5,000 over at a, I'm talking like retail on a new, you may find that in, I don't know, Georgia or South Carolina, they're discounting them by $3,000. Well, guess what? That car is only, call it $1,200 away. If you can save $3,000 on it and you're willing to, you know, and to me, you know what I like to do? I like to buy the car somewhere else, fly in and drive it home. And that's always fun.
Yeah.
You get a road trip out of it. So
that's what I'm talking about.
These are all the things that if you enjoy this, go ahead and explore all these different techniques we're talking about. If you don't, just make sure you have a good friend in the business that does do this kind of thing for you, because you can save a lot of money for sure.
Yeah, it's great today. It's like in the past, you'd go to your local dealership looking for the car and then you only got a few options. But now it's like, yeah, you can buy anywhere.
Buy anywhere.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. We have one more letter. We'll run through it pretty quickly. We've used up quite a bit of time already. So, hey, guys, writing to you from up here near Taos. I think that's New Mexico. We've got some beautiful twisting mountain roads out this way, and I'm looking to get into something a bit more spirited for my daily drive. I want an electric ride that's actually fun to throw into a corner. The problem is I need to keep the budget strictly under $40,000 out the door. Are there any genuine options left for someone who actually cares about driving dynamics at that price point, or am I hunting a unicorn? Appreciate your thoughts.
Use Gary. Model 3 Performance. Under 40K, it's just, I don't know. There's 40K is a lot of money. I mean,
Andrew, yeah.
Let it rip. You're the man. You know what the market is. I mean, a Model 3 Performance in Taos riding on those mountain roads, that would be awesome.
Heck yeah. No, 100% agree. Model 3 Performance. But yeah, $40,000. There's some amazing. Now, this is one crazy, not out the door, but every now and then, because I check Porsche's CPO, I put up the notifications on my email for Porsche's CPO.
You're going Taycan on me here?
Every now and then, you will find a 40K Taycan. Every now and then. Super rare. Super rare. But recently, in Texas, one popped up. It sold within hours. Didn't even have photos taken. And it was already sold. But it was a 2020 Taycan 4S Performance Battery Plus Sport Chrono Package, Premium Package. It was loaded up. It was a very nice Taycan. It sold within like 2 hours, but it had like 75,000 miles. But it's still a CPO Taycan with that 2-year bumper-to-bumper warranty for $40,000. Ooh, very hard to find.
That's great.
Yeah.
Plus, you look really good when you're pulling up to Denny's, you know, in that thing. That's a heck of a ride. Just be careful with the maintenance on those Porsches.
Brakes are incredibly expensive too.
And forget about that. Just like the light comes on in the car, right? And they're going to charge crazy money to inspect and make sure that the car is nothing wrong with it. And you can't just like reprogram it. We had this issue with my wife's Macan EV. It was crazy. The 20,000 mile checkup, it was so expensive, Andrew. It was insane.
So even though it was under basic warranty, you still had to pay out of pocket.
Yes. Really? Over $2,300 at Greenwich.
Jeez. So that's not covered under basic?
No. No. Wow. And I mean, like, that's the thing is some of these, some of the German cars, like, we didn't even talk about ID4s. I mean, there's a bunch of different vehicles that you could potentially get into. Some of them, like the Audi, like the Fat e-trons, there's some great deals on those as well. And while they maybe only charge 200 peak, it's a flat curve. There's a lot of luxury and they ride really well. There's so many different vehicles out there, but some of those cars actually included maintenance in them. And you know, that was a huge value. So when you look at total cost of ownership, just be careful. The Taycans, though, are just, especially if you, oh, I don't know, I don't want to go down this Cross Turismo path, but yeah, you got, that's the vehicle. But 40 grand is a lot of money. And keep in mind that when someone's asking 40 grand for it, that's a $35,000 car in my book. That's where I'm starting off, right? If you're shopping for 40 grand, shop up to 44, 45, you know, ask and then just play hardball. There's so many cars out there for sale.
Yeah. Well, so and Andrew, I think some other cars. Oh, sorry.
That's because it's asking what you got.
Yeah. Well, I think there's some other great, because if you want to go for the emails 40 out the door, I mean, there's so many good options, even in the low 30s. And a few of them off the top of my head, BMW i4, great car, super reliable. These things don't really have any issues. They're like fundamentally great cars. Just recommend eDrive 40 or xDrive 40. The eDrive 35 is not as fast. It's not quite as exciting. Also has less range. I've driven the eDrive 35 a lot, and it's not quite as exciting as the eDrive 40. And those prices of i4s, just honestly, now is not the time to buy an i4 at all. You got to buy i4s early in the year for the lease returns to come in. Because they usually do pretty big incentives like in December. So I remember earlier this year, I was seeing CPO, eDrive 35, slow miles, nice loaded up ones with like the ventilated leather seats. It's a very hard option to find, but some really nice ones for around 25. And you just can't get them anywhere now. So honestly, with some of these luxury EVs, like even Audi e-tron GT, because you used to be able to get those for under 40, now is just not the time. Like, you're not getting them. The market's too limited right now. But maybe by the time that December, January rolls around, the prices are definitely going to come down because you're going to have all the lease returns hit the market at about the same time. Still, there's good. You can so easily get a nice i4 for under 35,000 easily, which would be under 40 out the door for sure.
So,
when if all else fails, you just buy a Chevy Spark EV.
Yeah, Chevy Spark. Yeah. It's 400 pound feet of torque.
They're it's not fun.
That. It's dumb. Did you see me taking that thing around the track, the Chevy Spark? That was crazy.
I did
that
not. But I owned one, though. I know what it's like.
I was laughing my ass off. That was so much fun. And by the way, Andrew, I think that's great intel on the seasonality factor and the lease returns factor. Great intel. Really, really smart to have that knowledge. That's really good.
Yeah. And that's the one thing. And I just kind of found that out because I was like, there was earlier this year, you used to be able to get e-tron GTs for like under 35. And I'm like, this is getting a little tempting. But now it's like, you can barely find them for under 45, honestly. Wow. So the prices really fluctuate seasonally. And still a few other cars in that price range, Kia EV6 GT, that car's a tremendous amount of fun to drive. Easily, you can find those for about 30 grand. You're talking 564, I forgot the exact horsepower, but a lot of horsepower, over 500 horsepower, comes with like Michelin PS4 tires as standard. Like it's a fun car to drive. The Kia EV6 is fantastic. Yeah, I mean, look at that, 22,000 miles, 30 grand. That car was over 60, brand new, has really fast charging. The range is like about 206. So, I mean, it's takes a huge shit. But you get a 5-year, 60,000-mile basic warranty and a 10-year, 100,000-mile EV system warranty. So it's like you get the high performance, but you also get the good warranty.
And it's one of the, it's the 800-volt architecture, so it charges super fast. Yeah, actually, when I looked at this email, I said, well, Ioniq 5N, of course, that's like, you know, everyone relates that it's like very similar to this same platform that the EV6 is on, except I think people like the Ioniq 5N even more. It's got the fake, it's got the gear shifting and the fake sounds and everything. And people, it really gets, you know, involves people in the driving experience, even despite being, you know, fake or whatever. But the problem is they're really expensive. They're not coming down. Like, this is a great deal. This is almost the same thing practically, but for like $20,000 less. It's hard to find.
This is the GT line, right? This is a GT?
No, that's this is the GT, GT. Yeah. The,
yeah, so yeah, the, that's, the, wow. Yeah, this, I this agree is the with real. Yep.
So, wow. So yeah, so that's where market. I went with this.
That's insane. 30 grand for that? Wow. It's good.
But my, so let's see. All right. So, yeah, I was looking at, my mind went the same place that Dave's did when I first saw this. So 2024 Tesla Model 3 performance, almost 39,000, so just under budget, and it's the refresh, right? So it's it not only is like a nice lot quieter inside, which is really nice because the Model 3s aren't super quiet inside, and but also they've reconfigured the steering on it, so it just feels, the steering feel on it is just a little bit better than the original one. It's just, you know, it's just a really nice car. So I had two ideas: buy this for like 39,000, just under budget, and you get, you know, all the warranty, and it's, you know, an awesome car, or go find you a deal on an older one. And I think, do I have one here? I think I did. Yes. So this is really kind of where I would go, because, well, my personal budget will never be over 40,000 or up to 40,000, but this is where I would go. 2018. This one has full self-driving on it for life. Get transferable as well. So when you sell, if you want to, you can take that with you if you upgrade to a new Tesla. 27.5.
Well,
you can use that.
Be careful with that. That's gone now. You can't transfer it to a new Tesla.
Oh, is it?
That's gone.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So scratch that up. Let's scratch that part. But still, no, that's okay. So 27.5. Yeah.
It's transferable. In other words, it stays with the car and with just that car. You can't transfer it. But if you buy that car and it has paid for full, that's a, I don't know what hardware that's got on it.
Probably 2.5.
It's like the original.
2.5. Yeah.
But yeah, if the car has
mine FSD, had on it too. Yeah.
Yeah. If the car is, I mean, that one, if it has FSD paid for it, you'd buy it, or you'd get it if you're the next.
Yeah. You get it. Yeah.
This one looks really nice too. So 27.5, and then what you do, you take a, you know, $3,000-$5,000 that you're still under budget, and go upgrade the suspension on it, like, and tires and suspension, and, you know, you can have a real nice roadrunner, basically. You know, it's got the sweet white interior. I love it. This is a 2018, so if hopefully it has the, I didn't know if it noticed if it has like the upgraded interior, upgraded cabin, you know, which has, that means it has like the nice subwoofer. The stereos and these are,
yeah,
like the early ones are really great. The seats were really great in the very early ones. Someone liked them more than the newer ones. That's what kind of the move I would go. And so this one only has like 25,000 miles on it. So wow. It's like,
yeah,
it's pretty fresh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a great choice. I think there's one final choice that we didn't discuss yet. And this is a niche choice, and it definitely is an interesting one, but I would go with the Mini Cooper SE. If you're looking for a, like, right, affordable, fun car to drive, you can find these easily for under 20 grand. And they're a lot of fun. They make 181 horsepower, but they only weigh 3,100 pounds, I believe. So it's a lightweight, fun to drive EV, small, it's nimble. You can throw it through corners. I think that's a pretty fun one.
The only challenge with that is, what's the total range?
114. So your canyon run is more like a quarter of a canyon run.
So you got to trailer it up to the canyons and then drive it and then regen down.
Yeah,
no, they are fun to drive. I wish they had 200 miles of range.
Yeah. You can get into them pretty cheap. 21,000. Yeah. This one here for 70. I haven't.
Maybe. Because the thing is, they're reliable too. They're like, these are very reliable cars. So I wouldn't blink an eye buying one with 60, 70,000 miles, honestly.
Well, this is a screaming deal then.
Comes with friends too. The Mini community is like unlike any other we've ever been part of. A lot of fun.
Yeah, this one's a steal. It's only like 18,000 with 17.2. That's with the dock fee is 795.
And that's the highest trim, the Iconic. But since it was built during the pandemic, some of them are missing out on, due to the chip shortage, some of them are missing out on like Harman Kardon sound system or adaptive cruise control. So you might find like the highest trim, but they're actually missing some stuff.
Oh, interesting. I never realized that.
Andrew, man, you've got all the nuggets. I remember like when the the Ioniq 5s, during the pandemic, they were only coming with HDA 1, not HDA 2, because we couldn't get, you know, it was like all that stuff was going on. So, wow. Yeah, well, that's a cool one. And it has attitude, too. Look at that little Mini. It's so cute. You can't
I just saw this listing here. This is from some company called Ever. So you never heard of EVs. I've never heard of Ever Cars. Andrew, you familiar with them?
You've never heard of them? No, I'm not too familiar with them. That's a nice one. I saw that years ago in the showroom.
Yeah, it's got the roof racks on there. It's nice, contrast color roof as well. Yeah, that's nice.
I kind of want one. I'm actually looking for one on the used market. I'm just trying to see if I can find like one pop up on Facebook Marketplace or Craigslist. I might be tempted.
All right. Well, we should probably leave it at that. We've gone about an hour. So that brings us to the end of this episode. Thanks for hanging out with us. Let us know in the comments why we're wrong about everything and what you would suggest instead. And if you're ready for your own battery bargain, drop us an email at hello@batteriesincludedpodcast.com with your car needs, desires, and budget. And we'll see you in the next episode. Ciao.
Bye-bye.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.